Hold to God's unchanging hand. You know, when we think about that, and wouldn't it be wonderful? Just think about this. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be in heaven right now? And I know that you're thinking, yeah, that would be a great thing. And one of the things that makes heaven such an amazing and an attraction to us, and amazing, is that it doesn't change. Nothing in heaven ever changes. We can see the glory of God. God's glory will never change. The purity and holiness of heaven will never change. The fact that God is on His throne will never change. The unchanging God of eternity is the God that we want to hold on to, as that song told us just now. Won't it be wonderful there is the song that we often sing. Nothing defiled, nothing confusing, nothing shifting. Things are stable. And we don't have to worry about tomorrow in heaven. For in that time, we will be able to worship God in spirit and truth in a way that we can't even fathom. You know, when I think about this idea, I think about the American Revolution, and there's something called the Collins Bible. And a fellow named Collins was part of and around that American and British war that we fought, the American Revolution. In 1791, he couldn't get Bibles. Two reasons he couldn't get Bibles. One was because of the war, it wasn't able to get these through. And secondly, once the war was won, England was so upset that they just refused to send Bibles. And so this fella Collins sat down and he took a Bible, and word for word, point for point, dot for dot, everything, he copied that down and started printing the Collins Bibles. And that was the first family Bible that was printed in the Americas. Isn't that cool? Word for word. And when you think about that Bible, you know, we often preach God's Word as a subject of love. Our love for God, we know that God loves us. God has a plan of salvation for us. The beauty of God's Word, that it never changes. The proofs and the evidences from God's Word. All the prophecies that have been fulfilled. The importance of the authority of the Bible, that God, He says it, He means it, and whatever He says has to be. No confusion. And we serve a risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who died 3 days later, arose from the grave, power over death and sin, power over everything. He's now sitting at the right hand of God as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Master in heaven. Unchanging. Isn't that great? And so I'd like to spend some precious time with you tonight thinking about the unchanging Word of God. Just like that old Collins book. Word for word, dot for dot, tittle for tittle. He transcribed that, or not transcribed it, but copied it so that he could give books and sell books to people who needed God's Word. And he did it just the way it's been preserved even over the centuries, when the Jews would get scribes and they would copy down words and count letters and spaces and paragraphs. And every so often they'd count all the letters, spaces, and paragraphs. And if they got to halfway through the book of Isaiah and one number was off, if it was off by one number, they would burn that and start all over again. And that's how much care has been taken that God's Word is unchanging. Then we can trust in God's Word. And it's important because it describes an unchanging God. And we live in a world that's changing constantly. So that concept is kind of foreign to us. We live in a world where everything is changing at an accelerated rate. We live in a world where it just changes all the time. Little puppies become big dogs. Little boys become young men. Men have wives and their daughters. They change. You know, you go back to where you grew up, neighborhood changed. Didn't it? When you think about that, I went into the house that I grew up in that I thought was a mansion, and that thing is so tiny. I think it would fit in my living room. It's just amazing. Everything changes. Nothing's ever the same. And you know, if you ask me about changes, when I grew up, there was such things as cassette tapes. Remember that? Some of us do. Remember having to pull that tape out of the machine and get it all wrapped back in there? We had 8-track tape players. You remember those? And we had 45s. We had those things. And young people today, they go, well, it's not changing that much. Listen, do you know what a party line is? Serious? Yeah, I got laughs. People know what that is. It's all changed. It's all changed. And when you think of that, you know, I put on my shoes, they don't fit anymore sometimes. If I want to go see somebody, in the old days you had to put on your shoes, put on your clothes, run up the street, knock on the door. Today you just text them. They have a texting or tweeting or whatever those things are. I know texting. If you wanted a certain toy when you were young, what'd you have to do? You had to go out and get the money. You had to go and buy it. Nowadays you just sit in your bed and you don't even have to put your shoes on. Just order it. It comes to the door. It's kind of cool, like magic. Things have changed. And times they have changed. Among the so-called righteous people of God, we know that some things have changed, even in the church. I mean, seriously, some things have changed. Churches today struggle because of change. And we're very the more conservative brethren are very careful about change, any kind of change. Same-sex marriage used to be a real problem, and now it's kind of normalized, isn't it? My wife went to, and I were at Kmart. She bought some cards that were on sale. I never saw it, but she opened a card. It was a happy anniversary card. And when she opened it up, it was two women. Change. And when you think about that, divorce and remarriage, that's normalized today. Using God's name in a blasphemous way, euphemism we talked about this morning, which is a neutral word that means something bad, but it's normalized, it's acceptable. Profanities, blasphemies, obscene language, normalized, without excuse. Nobody said, oh, I'm sorry I said that. They say, what? It's just words. Tolerance for what is wrong in place of what is right. The times are changing. You know, we search the Bible, there's three things that we think about when God remains the same. He remains the same forever. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, forever. He doesn't change. God hasn't changed. You know, it's important because we know if He's not changing, we can trust Him. I want to trust God. And I can't trust in a God that's wavering like all my friends and family and, you know, much of the people in the world. No, I want a God that does not change, does not move. I want the rock, which is Christ Jesus, my Lord. Never changes. Malachi chapter 3 and at verse 6, He tells us that. You know, see here in Revelation, He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the Lord who says He is the one who is, who was, and is to come. He's everlasting. He never changes. Malachi 3 and 6, I am the Lord your God. I do not change. That's God. And man hasn't changed either, unfortunately. Now, when we obey the gospel of Christ, there's changes that take place in our life. Some of them hurt like the dickens. And some of the changes are really hard. And of course, the Lord's Word, the Word of God, is like a two-edged sword, and it cuts asunder. And sometimes it hurts. But change can be made that way. But men in general, they don't change. You know, we're men, we have all kinds of cool stuff. They got this Hennessy Vantum GT, which goes 270 miles an hour. They put men on the moon. They've gone to the depths of the ocean, 6.83 miles all the way down to the bottom, the deepest part of the ocean. Those are just things. Man, things that man does. But man doesn't change. He still deals with discouragement. He still fights with hopelessness, with fear, with isolation and worry. Man is still trying to figure out what my purpose is in this world. So many people fail because they don't turn to the unchanging and powerful, everlasting God. Some people stand in the cemetery and they stare at a tombstone and they think, is that all there is? I mean, is this it? You're just going to die and be in that little hole? You know, man still deals with broken promises, broken hearts, broken lives. He still takes long journeys through the valley of the shadow of death without God. What a shame that man would do that. But man doesn't change. He stays the same. And that's why man continues to have problems. But God's Word is still something that is unchanging. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, the grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the Word of God stands forever. Matthew chapter 24 verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words by no means will pass away. Listen to me, God's Word is the same today, yesterday, and forever. It never changes. As we mentioned in the opening, and that's because of people like Mr. Collins, all the way back to the early Hebrew nations who preserved the Word of God with all diligence. Took no corners, no shortcuts. And because of that, we can trust this Bible. We can trust it as the Word of God and the principles that stand behind it, which is God was, He is, and He always will. In chapter 4 and verse 8, your Bible. Your Bible. And you know what's really great is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Man. Jesus doesn't change. He's the author of our faith, and He's the finisher. It's all done. And because of that, it's impossible for God to change the Bible. There aren't going to be any changes. There's no one greater than Jesus in respects to this Word, and so the Word of God must stand. In Jude, verse 3, right? Jude says, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Once for all delivered. It doesn't change. And again, nothing in God's Word will ever change. You think about Moses and the Ten Commandments. He didn't write them down in the drifting sand. God didn't do that. God didn't give Moses a pen and paper and an eraser. God didn't write them with a pencil. He carved them into stone. That's an image of one of the oldest known stone Ten Commandments. It's dated back to 30 B.C. It's pretty old. It sold for $850,000. And you know what? That stone was underneath a guy's driveway. They found it on a guy's driveway. They walked on it, drove on it. But God put it in stone. In Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18, you know what God did when He did these Ten Commandments? It wasn't in the sand. It wasn't with a pencil and eraser. It tells us that He had made it and He finished speaking with Moses on that mountain and He gave Moses two tablets of the testimony and the tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And it will never change. The tablets you can't read that. I guess somebody might be able to, some scholar. But I can read this. And you know what? It's the same as that. It's the same. It's the same. You go to the cemetery, see those old tombstones. Some of them wither away, but you can still read them. Just like God's Word. Well, when we think about the unchanging message of God, you know, I have a computer. I just had to get a new one because my old one broke. But when I buy this, 2 or 3 weeks from now, my son's going to be going, you know, Dad, they got a new one better than that. The software needed updating already on this. Can you imagine a brain surgeon who's going to do brain surgery on your head and he's using 50-year-old manuals? No, things change. And sometimes it's a good thing. But now, can you imagine the preacher changing the message? The preacher says, I'm getting updates from God. This is all new stuff. This is great. You know, some of you might think that's funny, but a lot of preachers today have done that exact very, very thing. I got golden tablets from God. I got an angel Moroni who gave me these, and I got an angel this and that who spoke to me and told me new revelation. And people believe it. I am the Lord your God, and I change it not. One jot or tittle will ever change. Oh, the Word of God is forever and ever, forever. It will not change. We don't get updates from heaven. There isn't a Bible 3.1 that one preacher uses and a Bible 3.8 that another one uses and now they're different. No. You know what is interesting? Paul told us God is not the author of confusion but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. That's God. If God changed all the time, if this Word changed all the time, I guarantee you that would create confusion, wouldn't it? And the confusion doesn't come from God's Word changing in the churches. It comes from people not accepting God's Word, not accepting the authority, not accepting direct commands, not accepting necessary inferences or apostolic examples or specific commands or generic. They don't do that, and therefore these things change. Remember the Collins Bible we mentioned early? One thing that I didn't tell you is in that Bible, he was so adamant and obsessed with accuracy that he had his children proofread the Bible 11 times before he actually started printing. And after all that, the modern day analyst got that Bible, and do you know that there's only two mistakes in that entire book? This man, he took a Bible and he went word for word and copied it into a press and printed pages one at a time, and they only found two errors. A broken letter, a letter that was on the press, the letter was actually broken. And the other error was a missing punctuation mark. We can trust it. And men like him who made sure that this was handled in a right way. Our culture wants to change, though, when we think about it. There's so many people, they want to change values. They want to change the story, the old story. What do they want? They want to remove the warnings from the Bible. They want to remove judgment from the Bible. They want to remove sin. Don't preach about sin. Don't preach about hell. Let's eliminate those things in the preaching. They want to remove all that. They want to eliminate. There are people today that want to eliminate the book of Genesis. Churches. I'm not talking about the Lord's church, but churches. They want to eliminate the book of Genesis because to them it's confusing and they think maybe that's not really all true. And it is. They want to change the Bible to suit their way of thinking. They want to change doctrine to suit their way of thinking. It's called progressive revelation. As things change in my life, I need to change revelation of God. You know, you turn to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1 and at verse 3. Think about what Peter says there. By His divine power, He has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have something that they don't have. God's divine power gave us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. By glory and virtue, right here. It's all here. Never change. They want to eliminate this. And you know the reason is because they can't accept God's Word. Women's right movement came along and all of a sudden God's Word isn't exactly right about woman in the home. You know that happened. the gay right movement moves into the world and all of a sudden the Bible's view on homosexuality is out of date. The false religions, false groups, false doctrine, every wind of every doctrine, their message is ever changing, ever progressive. They're making the will of man more important than the will of God. 2 Peter chapter 2. Or 2 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 4. You know what we have that they don't have? We have the ability to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. They don't have that. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and at verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find the rest for your souls. But they said, we're not going to walk in it. And that's exactly what's happening today. God never said, wait, and I'll give you a new message. You don't like the old one, I'm going to give you a new one. Just hang in there. Wait for the latest update. It's just around the corner. God says, go back to the message. And it's your choice. You know, God's promises, they stay the same too. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all come to faith and repentance. He's given us time. You know, the elections are coming. Politicians are making all kinds of promises. They'll be forgotten soon. Everything they said. There aren't too many that are keeping their promises. Parents make promises, they fail. Friends make promises, they fail. God always keeps His promise. Hebrews chapter 13 and at verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you, He said, and He won't. John chapter 14 verses 1 through 3, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's a promise. But now, oh no, the message has changed, Dave. There are some who say that message has changed. You know who they are? People who teach the 80-70 doctrine. And unfortunately, that started on the year I was born. I'm ashamed. And if you don't know what the 80-70 doctrine is, in short, it means that Jesus, back in 80-70 when Jerusalem was destroyed, that Jesus had come back then, 80-70. He came back. He's already come back. What are you waiting for? People teach that. They still teach that today. Listen to some of their words. The Holy Scriptures teach the second coming of Christ, including the establishment of the eternal kingdom, the day of judgment, and the end of the world, and the resurrection of the dead occurred, past tense, with the fall of Jerusalem, 70 AD, right out of their book. You know what? Doesn't that crush your faith? It's all over. What are we waiting for? Well, that's not true at all. God's message is the same recorded back in the days of John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's the same then, it's the same today, and it's going to be the same in the future until Jesus comes back. God's Word doesn't change. Be sober and vigilant, Peter said. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. He wants to devour you. By convincing you Jesus already came back, by convincing you that God's Word changes, by convincing you that you can't trust this and there's no stability here, that it's wavering and moving all the time. You know what the problem is with that? Wolves in sheep clothing. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. You know what the problem with that is? Warnings about our attitudes and the way that we should walk that we're ignoring. Having evil companions, 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Not being sober-minded. Not calling upon God and trusting upon the Lord in everything that we do in word and deed. Matthew chapter 5 and at verse 27 and 8, you have heard that it is said, to those of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say unto you, whoever looks upon a woman and lusts after her has already committed adultery in his heart. You know, there's people even today that have told me that they don't see a problem with nudity. Partial nudity. Today I was told that there is no problem with drinking alcohol. Well, you know, one day I came home. I thought my mother had come home from a vacation in California, ran upstairs and found my dad in bed with our secretary. You tell me lust is not a problem. My dad was an alcoholic. He raped my sister while I was in the room, tried to. You tell me that alcohol is okay. Tell me. Who's got the nerve to say, Dave, there's nothing wrong with alcohol? Listen. Nothing's changed. You read Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Read about all the sins, fornication, lewdness, idolatry, hatred, contentions, and envies, and murders, and drunkenness, and rivalries. And know that people who do that will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Nothing's changed. Thirdly, God's exceptions remain the same. Expectations, rather. They remain the same. Never change. What God expects of us has never changed. Luke chapter 9, verse, anyone who desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. That's never changed. Jesus 14:15 of John, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said the same thing in John 15:14. If you love me, keep my commandments. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and at verse 13, watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. What God expects has never changed. You know, one, there's a great responsibility holding to this unchanging world. We need to obey whatever God has said. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, He became the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the author of our eternal salvation, and we need to obey Him. Never changed. No, it's never changed. And, you know, we need to change. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, a godly sorrow for sin that leads to a change of heart. It causes us to regret what the sin is, and it produces life, not death. The regret of this world produces death, but a godly sorrow for sin, repentance that leads to salvation. We need to change. We don't want God to change. We don't want His Word to change. We don't want to change any of this. We need to change. That's our responsibility. Second, we need to share it just like it was delivered to us. Right? Preach the word in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, extort with all long suffering and teaching. Preach the word, not your opinions. Preach the word. When they like it, when they don't like it. But hold fast to that unchanging hand of God. Because it's the unchangeable Word of God that can save a soul. It's the unchangeable Word of God that can make a difference in people's lives. It's the unchangeable Word of God that can create hope in a heart where there is no hope. That's what the apostles, or the early saints did in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. They were scattered. They went out. They didn't go home, run and hide. They went out and preached the Word. Thirdly, we need to receive the unchangeable Word that gives us hope. Hope, Revelation 22:4, we'll see His face. You'll see the face of God if you receive this Word into your heart and you obey the Gospel. You will see the face of God. You know, you have an anvil and you beat on that anvil. Over time, that hammer needs to be replaced. The anvil is like the Word of God. It doesn't change. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Don't change it. Sanctify it. Set it apart. That Word of God. You know, we sing, "Give me the Bible." And we should. Because no other book will show you God and His unchanging hand. No other book will show you God anything other than the Bible. No other book will change your life like the Bible. No other book will give you hope like the Bible. No other book ever, nothing on the earth, will ever be able to affect your soul the way the words of the unchangeable and powerful and mighty God does. You know, it worked with people in the past. It'll work with you today. Just a couple of things that I had written down off the internet about some young people who were giving life instructions. A fellow named Patrick at the age of 10, he said, "Never trust your dog to watch your lunch." Kelly, white stuff, 10 years old, "Never be too full for dessert." Heather, age 16, "When your dad is says, 'Do I look stupid?' don't answer." Wisdom. Philip, at the age of 13, "Never dare your little brother to paint your dad's car." Molly, 11, "Remember, you're never too old to hold your father's hand." Hold to His unchanging hand. You know, Jesus told us exactly what we have to do that. My prayer for you this evening is that you heard these things. You realize you have to hear and obey. You have to believe. You have to repent of your sins. You know that those are things that we must do to come to God. We must confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and we must be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. You have need tonight, either to repent or to be baptized, whatever it is, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.